What is up, guys, and welcome to the Meeple Mining Podcast, the podcast where we talk all things tabletop gaming. My name is Jason.
And I'm James.
How are you doing this week, James?
I'm good.
Good, good. We've changed the studio setup around here.
Yeah, we have. We're sitting the other way.
You get a lovely view. Not only do you get to see my glorious face, you're now back facing my games collection.
Indeed.
Which has changed a little bit. I was moving it around just before you arrived, as it happens. Adding a few new games to it.
I see.
yes. Which ones have you noticed, James?
Well, I knew they were there already, but they have made it onto the shelf. It's I see Distilled.
Yeah.
I see an expansion for Distilled. I see a neoprene mat for Distilled.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest. I actually did really well. Because I said I was going to buy Distilled.
You did.
But I also said that I was going to be really good and hold out until my birthday.
Yep.
That was somewhat true. I did hold right out up until the day before my birthday.
Yep.
When a very kind gentleman from our local town actually had a brand new sealed retail copy. He was selling it for a very reasonable price. So I was like, I can't not. You know, I at that point, I'd already figured that I wasn't getting it for my birthday and that I would potentially be getting basically vouchers to go and buy a game. So win-win, I can buy another game. So I was on my way over to the gentleman's house. And while I was on the way over there, I got a message from my mother saying, oh, you know, happy birthday for tomorrow because I know you're going to be busy and all that kind of stuff. Oh, by the way, I've sent you some money into your account to go towards that game you wanted, and it actually happened to be exactly what he was selling it for.
Excellent.
So theoretically, James, I did not buy Distilled. I did indeed get it for my birthday.
Well done.
So I class that as a win, and I class the fact that I actually managed to hold out. Truth be told, 2 days later, I did, of course, go online and buy the expansion and the neoprene mat. And they're now here.
Yes.
So
doesn't matter. It was after the fact.
Exactly. Exactly. But yes, that's one of the new games that's made it onto the shelf.
Yes. I see Age of Comics.
Yes. Turned up finally. Really looking forward to that. That's probably going to be one we might be playing next week, just so you're aware. I have started to learn it. There's a lot of stuff.
Yes.
It looks good.
It does. I'm immediately knocking it down in my expectations, though, because it's got one of those board game sleeves and I can't stand them.
I'm the same. I don't really like that. It's really weird because I got the deluxe edition and that was one of the deluxified things. And it's a very nice cover, don't get me wrong, but I hate them. I hate board game sleeves that go around the box. Sleeves around a card, that's different.
Yep.
But sleeves around a box, it's just so annoying. It's one more thing I've got to move to get it open, and then when the components don't fit back in properly, you can't put it back in the sleeve. I used to have one for I think it was On the Underground. I had one for, yep. And it stayed on there for one play,
yep,
and then it was gone, which is a shame because this, as I said, this one has got a really nice cover, a nice vibrant spot UV cover on it,
yep, but they're just irritating.
I'll be honest, I actually prefer the box art to this, so don't think it's going to be staying on there. However, I might cannibalize it and create a nice art piece out of it. Win-win. Yeah, there you go. Yes, Age of Comics, that's another one that's made it on there. There's some other stuff that's made it on there, obviously, but I can't think what they are off the top of my head. My new insert for Starship Captains finally turned up, my lovely colored insert. I'm looking forward to playing that.
I'm trying to work out which game that is. I think it's a Masters of the Universe one that's next to Dice Hospital.
It is, yes. Yes, that's Masters of the Universe Fields of Eternia. I've just turned the box around. It was starting to show signs of sun bleaching. So I was like, yeah, that's clearly been on there too long. It's time to go either on the sale pile or I could blag it and just turn the box around a little bit. So the box turned around a little bit. So yes, that's... there's a lot of games on here that are on the shelf of shame.
Yes.
I have actually made an executive decision, James.
An executive decision?
I have. I went through all of my games the other day.
Yep.
And I wrote them all down. And then I wrote down which ones I would happily sell. And I then counted up which how many I would have left after, in an ideal world, if I sold all of them, I would actually cut it down to just over 20.
Ooh.
So that's a hell of a cull that may well be coming to the collection. Nothing to do with the fact that we're doing both Expo and Essen next year.
Yes.
And we need, one, I need money for that, and two, I need shelf space for when I come back.
Yes.
Obviously. Someone actually asked me the other day, I said, would you mind picking up a game for me at Essen next year if there is one? I was like, of course I wouldn't. Well, I don't want it taking up space in your thing. I was like, I don't know why you're saying that. I'm intending on hiring a transit van. So, I mean, is that a viable option, James? Do we hire a transit van and just drive to Germany? What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm more of the mindset, Jason, that if it's anything like UKGE, there'll just be trucks parked up, and I'm sure they won't miss one of them.
True. Very true. Although, you know, with what happened at Gen Con with the two guys stealing that pallet of stuff.
Oh, I've not heard about this.
How did you not hear about
this? I've not heard about this.
Oh, that was big news, sir. Big news ages ago at Gen Con. Yeah, there was two people went in to the where they were setting up in the hall and literally just took a pump truck, pumped up a load of a whole pallet of stuff, and it was mainly trading cards, I think.
Yep.
I want to say it was Magic the Gathering, I might be wrong, but it was about, if I remember correctly, about £300,000 worth of stuff.
Yep.
And they just literally walked out with it, and security didn't stop them or anything, because obviously
they actually got away with it.
They got away with it for, I think it was a good couple of months, and then eventually someone twigged who it was.
Okay.
And it was actually two board game designers. So that's how they got in,
because
they had every right to be in there. But as soon as people know who it was, that was it. They were hunted down and they got caught. So,
yep.
So yeah.
Oh, I bet heads rolled for that. I mean, I get it. In all the hustle and bustle, you're probably not going to question two blokes who look like they should, especially if they've got the passes, walking around with the pump truck. But as soon as they started heading towards the door, it would have been like, where are they going?
Mm, exactly. Interesting news, obviously. But yeah, that was a great story to follow. I just found it funny. As soon as I found out who it was like, well, I mean, it was a, they designed a game that I don't think I've ever heard of or played or anything like that. And it, yeah, I think it's one game that they've done, and it was like 3-4 years ago. So it's like, I don't know, Eric Lang was the one behind it or anything like that. But yeah, it's just kind of like way to secure that you're never going to work in this industry again.
Yep.
Because now, yeah, you've got a fully tarnished reputation. Congratulations, idiots. But yes, it's been an interesting week for me, back to work. That's been fun, but I'm not going to talk about that anymore. I want to talk about things that are actually fun, James, because we have played a couple of games this week.
We have.
One of them we will be talking about in probably about 10-ish minutes, but we also got to play another brand new Kickstarter delivery, did we not, on Monday, James?
We did.
This was a game that we haven't played for about a year and a half. When we got to play it before it was even on Kickstarter, we played Cake of Doom, James.
Oh, we did. Yes,
we did.
Yes,
you did really well in that game.
I did.
I'm going to give you that credit. You did incredibly well right up until the end.
Yes,
with the help of Dave.
Yes,
managed to completely block you from winning.
Yep.
And hand me a lovely victory on a silver platter. But no, that was our first time playing the actual published copy. James, how did you find the game? Did you enjoy it?
Of course I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
blue, blue cards. Sorry.
Yep, indeed. Yep, we did the We did all. Well, actually,
no, we didn't. We played it properly.
We did actually play it properly. I mean, there was still a lot of.
Oh, there was
taking the sabotage cards.
The sabotage cards.
We were taking the sabotage cards.
I mean, we did it one after the other to Dave because we had to introduce him to the proper way that game is played.
Oh, of course, yes, indeed, yes. Didn't like plan that.
Absolutely.
Beforehand at all.
No.
That wasn't going to happen. But yeah, we actually played the game properly.
We did.
Yeah, it was a three-player game. I did enjoy it. I must say, I really did enjoy it. It was nice to play it again. I can't remember what my feelings were on it all that amount of time ago, but things have changed a little bit. But I definitely feel that that game is going to thrive more, you know, maybe the full 5 and 6 player count.
Yeah.
As opposed to the 3 to 4. I think more plays of that obviously will reveal exactly how that will work. But yeah, I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it. I'm really glad I backed it and I can't wait to play it again. What about you?
Yeah, definitely.
Screw people over.
Sabotage.
What's
sabotage.
Not
sabotage. Sabotage, sabotage,
sabotage. Well, listen, in a higher player count, James, just think, we will be a bit more free to just draw sabotage cards and screw it over for everyone else.
Yeah.
But when there's only three of you, you're kind of
yep.
at a stalemate if you're just constantly sabotaging each other. You're never going to get anywhere.
It's fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Very, 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 very good fun. And that cake monster card, man.
Yep.
Immediately destroy half the cake bids. It's like, oh. Although it was perfectly timed, wasn't it? Because you used it. I think you used it on me.
Yep.
To stop me from getting, I can't even remember what it was, but you used it on me. So yeah, it was top of the pile and it got back to me. It was still on the top of the pile and I had the grab card.
Yep.
So I was like, right, I'm grabbing that because I know that my next turn, I'm about to go for the Doom, which means no one can half my thing. I've got all special cards, which meant I was going for Doom with like 16
yep.
like cakes. It's like, yeah, you physically can't stop me.
I could have if Dave hadn't messed me up at the last second.
Yeah, well done, Dave. Thank you, Dave. But yeah, great fun. Cake of Doom. Really enjoyed it. Can't wait to play it again. The other thing we've been playing is Ark Nova, because we're back loving Ark Nova. We're back playing it with Marine Worlds, which we'll be talking about in a minute, so that's what we're going to say.
Yep.
But James, we played a game this time last year.
We did.
I can't remember if we've played it again since. I think I may have, I'm not sure about you, because this time last year we talked about Arcana Rising.
Oh.
Now, it's irony, really, because it's been about a year since we talked about it, and it also re-emerged at the game club on Monday.
Yes.
Because my partner was playing it. So, James, memories of Arcana Rising, how do you feel about it?
But I haven't played it since the last time we all played it.
Okay.
Because it is your missus's copy.
Yes, it is, yep.
Yeah, I remember it being a pretty good game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have anything bad that I can think about it. But at the same time, if I haven't played it since, I can't really say that I'm missing playing it. It's not like I'm like, oh, I really want to play that again. But it's definitely one of those games, if it happened to be on the table with the spot, I would probably sit my fat ass down and pick up some cards. Because, yeah, I do quite like it. I think it's Grey Fox Games or Silver Fox Games or something like that. But, yeah, very good game. Really enjoy that. A year on, James, I know you haven't played it. Are you still thumbs up, thumbs
down?
I'm
still thumbs up. I remember having positive thoughts about it.
Yes, other than I think we had
the
misgivings with regards to the quality.
Yeah, I'm actually curious, a year on, how's it held up? It was the game boards, wasn't it?
Yeah. But again, I don't think it's been played that much. So I think that's what we were worried about, was the constant bending of the boards.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, I didn't notice, so I didn't pay much attention to that. But yeah, I agree. I think we should probably have a word about that and see how they're holding up.
Yes.
But James, are you ready to talk about the main event this week?
I am.
I think I am too, because I'm excited.
Yes.
I'm excited, and we've left a decent amount of time to talk about it as well.
Excellent.
Excellent stuff. Let's do it. Okie dokie. So, Ark Nova Marine Worlds is the first, I'm going to say it, first proper expansion for Ark Nova. Yes, we've had some map packs, I think, in the past, the occasional promo card, but this is an actual expansion for the game Ark Nova, which, I mean, Ark Nova took the world by storm when that came out, didn't it? Like, everyone was loving Ark Nova. Everyone was saying it's the best game since sliced bread, and it's going to kill Terraforming Mars, and in a year's time, we won't know what Terraforming Mars was. And here we are, a year and a half down the line. Terraforming Mars is unfortunately still with us.
A game I have never played.
Yep, and well, I would say you'll never play it, but I'll rephrase it. You'll never play that game with me.
Yeah.
Because I can't stand Terraforming Mars, but this isn't a Terraforming Mars episode, James. Yeah, but anyway, it's still here. I'll be honest, I don't see the resemblance. There's a couple of things that are similar, but you know what? They are totally different games. especially now, because Marine World, James, adds quite a bit of stuff.
It does add quite a bit of stuff.
Which could be good and it could be bad. I'm usually very scared because Ark Nova was, up to this point, one of my favourite games of all time. I always thought very highly of it. We took a hell of a break from playing it because we played that game to death. But yeah, we're back to it. And I know you as well as me have been chomping at the bit to keep playing it.
Yep.
Various reasons have come between us being able to play it. But we have been playing it quite a bit, which is good. So what is Marine World? For those of you that have been living under a rock, as I said, it is the first expansion for Ark Nova, and it adds a multitude of new animal cards, new sponsor cards. You get upgraded pieces for things in the original game. There's a new drafting mechanism. There's a whole host of other things. It's pretty awesome. It's literally just coming out in the UK. I'm lucky to have my copy of it because our good friend Simon bought it back from Essen for me. Thank you very much, Simon. But I had a quick look online earlier, and the cheapest I found it for at the moment is a pre-order for £25. So, as I said, it is coming out now. So if you were to pre-order it, you'd probably get it pretty quickly. But yeah, £25. It doesn't add any extra players to it or anything like that, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But what comes in the box, James, if they spend £25 on this expansion?
Okay, Jason, you get some new components and you get some replacements for the components, or some of the components are already in the box.
Yep.
So you get 54 zoo cards, 9 of which are replacements.
Yep.
You get 32 animals, which are all brand new. You get 16 sponsors, 8 of which are replacements for ones that are already in the game.
Yeah.
And for reference, though, any card that's replacement is usually a change in iconography or wording
yes.
to account for the new mechanics that are in the game.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah, changing of animal icons and things like that. You get 6 conservation projects, 1 of which is a replacement, so mm-hmm. 5 new ones. 6 new final scoring cards and 7 replacement ones. A new base conservation project and 2 replacements. And 20 alternate action cards and 20 replacements.
So, nice.
That's just the card section.
Okay.
You also get a replacement association board. So the association board is completely changed mm-hmm. by this one. You get 3 alternate counters and 7 alternate player tokens. You get 8 new special enclosures, which are the aquariums, 4 small, 4 large. 7 new universities, 4 new unique buildings, 6 and a replacement bonus tiles. A new tile for solo play, and another 3 kiosk pavilion tiles.
Very, very nice. So that's a fair bit. There's a fair bit there. It's not a particularly big box. I think it's maybe, I'm going to say, a third of the size of the original. But yeah, there's a fair amount of stuff in there. There's a decent amount of replacement bits in there as well, which seems like a bit of a shame for me that they're having to replace stuff. However, if you're going to introduce these new mechanisms, these new animal types,
I was going to say,
you kind of have to.
I do appreciate that because it does say in there, like I mentioned in the section, it's like the replacements are usually updated iconography for things like applies to all animal types, because that iconography is now updated because it doesn't include the new animal types come in the thing. Yeah. So I actually appreciate that they've taken the time to replace those cards.
Yeah.
Rather than just saying, well, assume that.
Yeah. And I will say some of the final scoring cards and the conservations that they replaced as well. I know you haven't personally seen them, but some of them have actually been made easier, which is nice, which I'm going to guess has come from feedback from the original game of, you know, maybe this one was a bit too hard.
Yeah.
Or a bit too challenging to achieve, whereas this one's way too easy. It's more of a balancing mechanism there, and using the expansion as an excuse to do that. You've got the upgraded pieces, man. I mean, this was one of the things that drew me to it to start with. I love upgrading my games. To actually now give out the upgraded pieces to make every player feel a bit more individual, I guess, is a good way, because you've now got, obviously, your player color, where you've got a ticket, a hat, and I think, is it heart or something like that to represent on the 3 different tracks,
yep,
as well as the
player components,
the player components, which obviously you have when you're supporting conservation,
yep,
they are all unique sculpts now. So I think black is a penguin.
Yep.
You've got the blue one, which is a fish of some sort. We couldn't quite figure out what type of fish.
Yep.
What were the other ones, James? I can't remember.
So the red one, I'm guessing here, the red one looks like some kind of fox or
okay,
other yep, small mammal.
Yep.
And I think we settled on that the yellow one was a monkey.
Yeah, or a meerkat, because, you know, they're really, really close, obviously.
It's the pose it's in. It could be like a meerkat doing the whole
it could be
thing, yep, or it could be a crouching monkey. I'm going to go with monkey because... Primates are a primary group in the game.
Yeah, I think you may be right on that one, to be completely honest with you. But without having the actual components in front of us, it's probably should have done that.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's our fault on that one. But yeah, they're really cool. And that really did help to add a nice uniqueness to every one of our games. And couple that with the new drafting mechanism that's in the game.
Yep.
It makes everyone feel like they're playing a bit more of an asymmetric game, whereas before it all felt very, we've all got the same cards, we're all doing the same things.
Yeah.
You know, we are all playing this one game, whereas now we've got that nice asymmetric, I've got my own thing going on.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice. But component-wise, James, what do you think the quality's like? Is it...
Yeah, it's up to the standard of the base game. Mm, so yeah, very good quality all round.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've got any particular negatives that I would say, to be honest. I mean, for someone who sleeves his cards, to have to replace all those, or more to the point, find the damn cards that you're replacing in amongst the hundreds that came with the base game was not fun. Then having to re-sleeve them and then realizing that the sleeves I'd sleeved my original game in are now out of production, so I had to re-sleeve the entire game wasn't fun. But hey, that's my fault. I like sleeve games. But other than that, the quality of the components is great. The punch board is just as good as the originals. You'd think it all came together, really, if you ask me. And the association board, James.
Yep.
They kind of didn't really need to give you a new one, because the only thing that really changed on it was that they added a new university icon onto it.
Yep. So remind me, because it's been a while since I played the first, or the base iteration of Ark Nova, were there only three universities on the yes, original association board?
Yes.
So they've it's not that one's been replaced, they have physically added a fourth one.
Physically added a fourth one.
Oh, that's good.
And that's why you've got your new board, basically, is because it added that onto it. They didn't need to do it, but the point is they did. So I think they realised that they need to give you the value in this box. And I think component-wise, it's there. So that's all I really have to say.
Yep.
About components. Do you want to talk about gameplay, James?
Let's talk about gameplay.
Let's do it. Where do we start?
We'll start at the beginning with the drafting mechanic.
Oh, okay. So we go. Oh, okay. All right. We're going to start at the beginning with the drafting. So now, drafting, James.
Yes.
Originally, you got your...
Tableau
of five cards. And that's it.
Yep. And they were all the same.
Everyone had the same. Everyone was an equal playing ground. Now, however,
yes,
there are some upgraded versions.
There are.
And, ooh.
And they are disgusting.
So what? I mean, are they? That's the question.
Some of them are.
yeah. I think if you play them the right way, they could potentially be very, very dirty. But you're not guaranteed to get those ones, though, are you?
No.
Because there is new types of card for each type. So there's, what, 20 in total?
Yeah.
Four for each type. And at the start of the game, players will randomly draw three of those cards. You then have to pick one of them to keep.
Yep.
You pass them to the player on your left. And you receive two more. You then pick one of those, pass it on, and then you're basically given the third card. And then from the three cards that you end up with at the end of the drafting, you have to pick two of them, and they have to be different. So you can't have two association cards, for example.
Yep.
And the two you pick, you replace with your basic cards, and that's then your tableau for the game.
Yep.
Minor little differences between card texts on all of them, but some of them are pretty dirty, some of them aren't.
Yep. Okay, so I've picked up the pile of...
Yes.
What I assume you've left out here. So I would like to have you feast your ears on this one, Jason.
Okay, go for it.
So... on its blue side, its weaker side, if you play this animals card in space 5, you may straight up ignore one condition on the animal card.
That's pretty dirty, yeah. It's pretty dirty indeed. If you that's on the basic side.
Yeah, if you upgrade the animals card, you may do the same action at 3, 4, and 5.
Nice. That's pretty dirty.
Being able to ignore a condition on an animal card.
Mm, yeah, that's pretty dirty, that, isn't it? That is quite a dirty one.
That is quite a dirty one. I remember, isn't there one that allows you to take multiple of the same part of the zoo?
Yeah, I had that one yesterday, didn't I? So obviously in the base game, you can only have one of each partner zoo. You can only have one of each of the universities. Whereas I had a card, I think it was the upgraded side of the one of the associations, Association 1,
yeah.
I think it is. And that enabled me to actually have multiple of the same.
Yeah.
Which was so helpful in the game we played yesterday. That felt very, very dirty to me.
Yeah.
Incredibly dirty. Especially if you're really going to get, like, maybe you've got a victory condition card that gets you loads of stuff for the playing Europe, for example.
Yeah.
I can now get loads of European icons to be able to play animals cheaper.
I mean, the one that you had, absolutely, this is probably the most filthy one, closely followed by the one I had, which I'm also going to read out. But dear listeners, feast your ears on this if you are familiar with this game, right? You can take partner zoos from the supply instead of the association board. So you can never be blocked out of the ones that you want because you can take them straight out of the supply.
Mm-hmm.
You may take partner zoos you already have as well. That's the blue side. And if you upgrade it, you can also do the same thing with universities.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was awesome.
And the one I had, which I would say arguably is tied for dirtiness, these are the association cards. I think these are probably the two worst ones in terms of the filthiness.
Yeah.
This one is, if you are in position 5, so the position to support a base conservation project.
Yep.
Instead of supporting a base conservation project, you can straight up hire another association worker.
Yeah.
The caveat being it has to be immediately placed on 5, so you can't
use it
until the next tea break. But you basically, with this association card, you never need to select the extra workers from the board.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like because you can do that in the first round.
Yep.
Like, because that guarantees you 2 workers in the next round,
which I did.
To do any upgrades? Yeah,
really, and very good. If you upgrade that card, I can play additional workers to reduce the strength required by 2.
Yeah,
so I can base conservation at strength 3.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty strong, isn't it?
Yeah. So those two, I think, are tied for. Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah,
shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, like. You're right. I mean, this is a big change. This is probably the biggest change, I would say, that comes with this expansion.
Yes.
It's also, I think, my favorite change.
I would argue that it's mine because changing up those player tableaus so they are
unique
is a brilliant move.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And the only downside I would say to it is coming from someone who has to teach the game, it's another thing I've got to try and teach a new player. Because this is the other thing. If I want to teach Ark Nova, say tomorrow, I know right now all of this expansion stuff is all mixed in with my game.
Yeah.
I'm either going to have to teach them all of this stuff plus the new stuff, or I'm going to have to painstakingly go through and take out everything.
Yeah.
From it's the expansion.
I'd say that this with the card, with the fact that in the rulebook it specifically gives you a massive list of cards to replace, all those replacements, I would say once you've introduced the upgrade, and this is probably the one downside, you can't roll it back.
Yeah, it is a bit difficult to roll it back. And it's probably a good thing because spoiler, because this is like final thoughts territory for me, but I don't think I'd want to.
No.
I want this stuff.
I would argue that anyone who's played Ark Nova, who then plays the expansion, will always want to play it with the expansion.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, the drafting mechanism for me is probably my favourite. There is a close second, but I really do like that.
Yeah.
It does add a little bit of time onto the start of a game because, yeah, you've got a whole new phase at the start of the game. And you're especially only if it's your first time seeing those cards, you've kind of got to
It does pay to read the text and decide what you're doing. But you are only drafting three cards, so...
Correct, yeah. And then picking two of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not bad. I think it's great. I think it changed the game dramatically in a positive way. And it definitely changed the game up for all of us. And some of them are dirty, some of them are not. But, you know, every game's going to be different now, which is brilliant.
Yep.
Another thing I've got in front of me here, James, is we also got some new bonus tokens, which really changed up as well, because now we've got a nice big pool of bonus tokens to choose from. I don't know about you. I thought a couple of these were quite dirty as well, to be fair, if these happen to come out.
Yeah.
You know, just looking at the ones we've got here, there's one here, which if you're the first to claim it, you can keep it by your side, and it allows you to ignore up to three animal requirements. So if you're thinking about those big African elephants that you don't think you're ever going to get to the point where you can be able to buy that animal, if you happen to have this and you want to play that animal, you just tap it, boom, I'm ignoring all of its requirements. I'm now putting down a high ticket item in turn two.
Yeah.
When really I shouldn't be able to do that till maybe turn 8, 9.
Yep.
That's powerful. You've got this one, which immediately you get to snap a card and then you have a permanent +1 to your hand size.
Yep.
So early game, that means you're going to be up to minimum of 4 when you go to a break. Or if you've got the university that expands you to 6, to 5, you're now on
hand size 6
cards. That's pretty strong in this game.
Yep.
This one is a regain a worker from the association board.
Yeah.
That one. Oh, that coupled with your ability. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, because you used your ability to do that.
Yeah.
To get your extra worker then and had this.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm just going to cash that in and oh, look, I've got that one that I've just bought.
Yep.
Oh, what a shame.
Yes.
Oh, filth. Draw 3 new victory condition cards and then discard 3, i.e. if the one you've got in your hand is garbage.
Yep.
That's brilliant because you could draw 3 ones and have a much better chance of scoring in-game points.
Yep. Straight up getting 3 kiosks or
pavilions
yep. which again is not bad.
No, especially if you get it early.
Yep.
Fill your part with kiosks, get yourself some extra money. And yeah, there's 2 more here, Joe. This one I'm pretty sure was, without looking at the reference here, I'm pretty sure it was just perform an additional sponsor action.
Yep.
And then what I would argue is the most powerful one in the game, which is when supporting a base conservation project, you can tap this token to represent any icon at all.
Yeah.
Oh, filth. That's like basically like giving you an extra conservation.
Yeah, it's or like if you're trying to get to the top tier one, then you're one off it.
Yeah,
that can give it to you. That's up there with that sponsor card that I had, the partner breeding program, which allows you to put the cubes on it and then spend them.
Yeah,
when you support a conservation as an icon, it's like it's between that one and the one that allows you to ignore 3 requirements.
Yeah, definitely very powerful one. So some of these are really good, but obviously they're joining a pool of quite a few of these.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the setup of the game, you turn them all upside down, you're drawing them randomly, so they're not always going to be out.
Yeah, but this is what I like about this, because out of all of that list, yes, some are more powerful than others, but there's none in there that I would describe as meh.
True. Yeah, they've all got a use. Yeah, they've all got a valid use that you would sort of go, do you know what? Yeah, actually, that will help me.
Yeah. No.
Yes, this one is very powerful, but out of the two, the one that's actually going to benefit me in the long run is probably going to be this one.
Yeah. I mean, what I mean by that is there's a lot of these where it gives you choice. There's quite a few choices in there that are just meh.
Yeah.
Where I don't think there is there. Every single one of those I can look at and go, yeah, those two are, they are tiered. Some are more powerful than others, mm-hmm. but there isn't a single one there that I look at and go, well, if that turns up on the board, I'm never going to use it. And it's just a waste of punch board.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 100%. Like, I can see a use for every single one of those.
Yeah. No matter what your game strategy is, there'll always be a use there. There's another game mechanism I need to talk about, James, because it's my second favorite of the game. In fact, now this is the one that I think it's either tied with or just behind the drafting mechanism, and that is, of course, the introduction of the coral stuff. And I'm actually going to mix this too because it's just all water-based, so I think it's okay.
Yeah.
The wave mechanic.
Yes.
So
let's do the coral first.
Let's do the coral first, because a lot of the new things, as you would imagine, in a expansion called Marine Worlds, which I think was also called Aquarium something or other when it was first announced, but Marine Worlds are going to be fish.
Yeah. Water-based animals.
Water-based animals. There's penguins. Oh, there's penguins.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But you've now got these coral abilities on a lot of these new animals. And how they work for these reef dwellers is when you play a reef dweller, you get to do their reef dweller ability, much like every other animal. Yet when you play another reef dweller, you get to do their ability. And then the ability of every other reef dweller that you've already done.
It's introducing chain effects to the game.
Indeed.
It's like, so yeah, if you go for the strategy like our good friend Ant does.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you end up with five or six of them.
Yes.
Oh, they all trigger each other.
Oh, they do. And it gets you multiple that it can bring you money.
Yep.
It can bring you victory points. The one I had, James, the one that really benefited me, not on this play, but the previous play that we did, was I got one that was giving me a conservation point.
Yes.
Every time I was activating. And all I was doing, I had two aquariums. There was the size 5 and the size 2, because you can only have one of each, which I think is great. I'm just going to say that. I played that one quite early.
Yep.
So every time I was putting in a fish or whatever it was, I was activating that ability. And as such, I was making sure I was only playing fish that were taking up one spot in my aquarium. So I was going to maximize how many of those points I was able to get.
Yep.
That was dirty.
So just quickly, as we've mentioned, that it's like the fish, they come with the two new aquariums, which function exactly like the aviary and the reptile houses in there. A specific shape. They've got the little spaces to put cubes
and the petting zoo and stuff. Yeah. It's more like the petting zoo because you can build them in the standard build mode. You don't have to upgrade. But yeah, you place cubes on there to represent how full it is. Because they're still deemed as special, you can only have one of each of the sizes. So that's 7 spaces in total.
Yeah.
They do have to be placed by water. But the other thing is, once you've placed them, they themselves then class as water, which really helps towards some of the end of game abilities or end of game scoring. So there's a whole line of chains going on here, James, that I really like coming from the water-based stuff. How have you found the aquarium stuff? Is it something that you've personally gone for?
I've not done it yet.
Okay. Well, I mean, mainly because I think every time we've played, I have.
Or Ant has.
So yeah, to fight for it is difficult. I would have one comment about it though.
Yep.
Going for that strategy is it's not a winning strategy.
Yes. Like,
you can't create just a massive aquarium.
So if Anthony is listening, because I'm about to torpedo what you've just said there, because I just found this.
Mm.
The aquariums are standard enclosures.
Yes.
So this upgraded build card,
mm,
if you upgrade it to the purple side, allows you to have more than one.
Ah, yes.
So there is one card that, if it came out, would allow you to build more than one.
Okay. Well, I didn't know about that. That's interesting. We'll have to look into that. Contradicting rules, eh? Love it.
Yes, but it's done by
the drafted card.
There's one in the entire draft that would allow you to do it.
Very nice. But so I still don't think there's a particularly winning strategy there. Like, it's not like you can replace putting down normal animals in your zoo as well.
No, cause, I mean, it's offset, I think, but I think although I haven't done it, I think a lot of the marine stuff has quite low attraction value.
Yes. Yeah, you don't get very many victory points for it from what I've seen.
Yeah, because it's offset against that you're going to get that trigger yeah. every time it goes off. So it's going to benefit you in other ways.
Oh, 100%.
So it's a good way to build towards that high ticket animal that you're trying to get to that are normally cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah. So I mean, that would be my one real advice if you're going for that, is that don't get too hung up on playing the game and just using the new stuff.
Yeah.
Because one, we all know how many cards there are in Ark Nova. There's a lot. You are still at the luck of the draw as to whether they're going to come out or not.
Yeah.
You're then at the luck of the draw of, are you the only one going for them? Are you going to be able to get that card? Are you going to be able to play the card? And then it's not going to give you that many tickets, that much, you know, tickets and victory points, which means you're not going to be getting that much money at the breaks, which means you probably won't be able to afford those ones. But there's definitely a strategy there to having it in the park.
Yeah.
And I think it makes a difference.
It does. But that segues nicely into the last section, which is the wave icons.
Yes, yes, yes. This is probably what makes this my whole second favourite.
Yeah, which is you have the line of cards. I know it has a name. The
central board, yeah.
The central board that is flowing, shall we say.
Yes.
Flowing down.
Yep.
Every time someone takes one, you know, it shuffles down. And it was one of the criticisms I did have for the base game was if there wasn't really anything there, it's kind of got stuck.
Yeah, because it would only ever get rid of two of them on a break.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a deck of that many cards, you just hardly ever went through it.
So and like you said, the sheer volume of cards, it's like it's not cycling enough.
No.
And then along comes the wave mechanic.
Indeed. So one of the key things when they announced this expansion was we all knew there was going to be new cards, new animals, which means dilution of the deck. Not something you really wanted in a game that really struggled to cycle through the deck. So what they did is they've installed the wave mechanic. When you're refreshing the central board, if a card is revealed and it has a wave icon on it, that just automatically kicks the one off in number one and everything shuffles down and you draw another card. If you happen to draw another wave card, guess what? Number one goes again.
Yep.
There has been a few times now, James, where I've been sitting here going, right, planning out my next turn. Okay, we're just going to a break. Excellent. I'm going to get money. I need that card, and that card. I can afford all of them.
Yep.
Or I can do that with my card action. Right, we're going to a break. Brilliant. Reveal the card. Oh, wave. Oh, God. Hang on. That's one of them gone. Okay, well, next one. Oh, wave. Oh, my God. And four times in a row, a wave icon and it's wiped the board.
Yeah, and it is important to note as well, it's not just the break. It's any time you're drawing a new card onto that line. So if someone snaps a card and everything moves down a new wave, if a wave comes out, that's it.
Yeah.
It does it whenever it's revealed. And like you said, I've been waiting for a card, you know, I've planned out a move and I'm waiting for a card to drop into my reputation range or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yes, it's finally there. And then a wave knocks it out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, there it is. There it goes.
There it goes. Yep. Now, I know a few people might actually get quite annoyed with that whole mechanism.
I like it.
But I think it's great. It's what the game needed.
Yeah.
It was one of the few things that we weren't as happy about with the base game.
Yeah, because
there wasn't cycling enough of those cards. That's been fixed. You know, yeah, all right, you've diluted the deck a little bit, but I would say in every game we've played since getting this expansion, the discard pile at the end of the game is maybe double the size it ever was.
Yeah.
When we used to play.
Certain game, we went, I mean, you've got it separated into about four of those
four different stacks. Yeah.
I think that game, I think it was the second game we played of it, mm-hmm. where we were chasing each other
up
the board.
All of them bar one.
Yeah. We went through the whole thing.
So I think it's still fair to say you're not going to go through the whole stack in the game, which again is great because it adds to replayability, but you're definitely seeing a lot more cards.
Yeah.
Because of that whole wave mechanic and that alone makes it, I think it makes it the best thing about the expansion. But for me, I just personally love the drafting side of it.
I like, again, the fact that it's probably fixed my one complaint with the base game, which is that the deck doesn't cycle through enough.
I think the game is now playable at two players. Because that was the problem we used to have, wasn't it? It was like we always wanted to play it at the higher player count because it made the deck cycle a bit more, but then it took longer. We loved the idea of playing it at two player, and we enjoyed playing it at two player, but we never saw enough cards.
Yeah.
So three was our kind of perfect thing. Now, I'd happily play this at two player. It's now a very viable option to play at two, because you're just going to be cycling constantly, and I think that's great. So I think the only other new thing, really, that we could talk about is there's a couple of extra tokens in the game.
The new university.
Yeah, you've got the new university, and you've also got those new special tiles, but they are what they are in the base game. They're special tiles that come when you play certain cards.
Yeah, the sponsor cards. Yeah. They're linked to some of the new sponsor cards.
The new universities, though, now they're pretty cool, because first off, that now means there's four types of university.
Yeah.
Yet you've only got space for three.
Yes.
So no longer can you have one of each. You actually have to make an educated decision at some point.
Which ones you don't want.
And the other thing is, James.
And spoiler alert, you want all four of them.
You
can't have all four of them, but you want all four
exactly,
of them.
Exactly, yep. But the funny thing is, James, those new ones, the one that's on the board is a placeholder.
Yes.
Because when you claim it, yes, it takes it off the board, which means no one else can claim it. But then you get given a small stack.
Yes.
Of which you need to pick one. And all of them come with, if I remember correctly, comes with a research icon.
Yep.
And then an icon of an animal type. Then they're all different.
There's basically one for each animal type in the game.
Yeah. And the other thing is you get a small magnifying glass on there as well. So basically what that means, you're going to gain yourself a research icon, you gain the animal icon, which will help towards various things. And the search icon allows you to then start revealing cards from the top of the deck until you find one of those, that icon, that animal icon, on a card, and you just immediately gain that card. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
It's another way cycling through that deck. There's a lot more go through the deck. Draw this, discard this, draw this, discard this. So much more of it going on. So those new universities, James, how did you find them? Did they ever help you?
I've not used them yet.
You've not used
I've
those?
I've not had a particular strategy where I was short of animal icons. Mm.
I think I used it in our first play because I was desperately going after an end game.
Yeah.
A victory point. I think it was a petting zoo one or something along those lines. So the idea of having the petting zoo icon or it might have been the squid icon or whatever.
Yeah.
I just wanted as many of them as I possibly could. So that's why I went for it.
Yeah.
I would argue that they're not as game-changing as I thought they might have been to have an additional one.
No, they're useful. I
think they're a bit underpowered compared to the other ones.
Yeah, because I always want the upgraded hand size.
Yeah.
I always want the go up on the reputation track.
Mm.
So that's two of them. And then the other one is the double university, which I usually find I'm struggling more for science icons than I am for animal icons.
Yeah.
So those universities are what I would describe as they're the opposite to those additional bonus tiles. They're situational.
Yeah.
In a certain situation, they're very useful.
Mm.
Other than that, you're probably just going to go for the three base game ones.
I think I would actually agree with you on that one. Like I said, I've used them once. I have seen them used in every game. So it's not like they're not used. But if there was something I could take out of this expansion, it would essentially be that, because they don't seem to change the game all that much. I could be wrong. We could be wrong. There could be something we've completely missed, because I'm just going to hold my hands up and say this, James. We've played this quite a few times now.
Yeah.
I've played it even more than you, but I still haven't seen everything.
Mm.
You know,
there's
shark stuff in here, which I haven't come across properly.
Yeah.
There's, like I said, all these different new animals. I've not even seen them yet. You know, or if I have, I haven't managed to get them and try and use them or whatever. But I feel like I've definitely seen what the expansion can do. And that was enough for me to just be like, yeah, this is amazing. It makes the game 100% better. But I definitely haven't seen everything. And I like it because it means I want to play more.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. And it makes me nostalgic for how I felt about the base game when we first played 100%. It because I remember us saying in the original Ark Nova episodes, like, we've played this, we've gone way above our rule of three.
Yeah.
Before we sat down, we played probably about double plays of that.
Yeah.
And we still haven't seen everything, and that's great.
Yeah. And that's how, how you won against
I feel the same way about Marine Worlds, and it's a lot smaller than the base game, so to have that feeling of, I still don't feel like I've seen everything, but I want to see it,
yeah,
is great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as I said, because this has been added to all that extra, all the stuff from the original, it is... I mean, I don't want to say few and far between, because it makes it sound like you're not actually going to see that much of it.
Yeah.
Actually, what I found is you now get a steady flow of old and new.
Yeah.
Coming through.
And I really like the fact that it synergizes with the base game, so that it feels like Marine Worlds has always been there.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't feel like I've added an expansion. It feels like it's part of the game.
Yeah.
Part of the core. And it does make me wonder that, like, the drafting mechanism was the one that confused me, because it's very, very different to add that into the game. And it makes me think that maybe when this game was first designed, you know, we've talked to a few designers and they all say the same thing. It's like, yeah, when you first design the game, it's 7 times longer than it is, and you start chipping things away. It makes me think that maybe that drafting mechanism was one of the originators of the game and it was removed. But then, obviously, the game's become a smash hit. People have asked for more. And they've just sort of gone, well, how about we just sit and work on this a bit more? Because this kind of, we did kind of like this, but we didn't really want to take it out. But it really was adding too much. Maybe that's what we've got here. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe this is something that after it was published, the designer went, oh, damn it, that would have been a really cool thing. Who knows?
Or someone suggested it in a Q&A and someone went,
that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? It's just one of those things that everything just seems to gel. I know we wax lyrical about Ark Nova quite a lot, you know, but this isn't a game that we play all the time, because it is it's a long one. You know, last night was a bit of a slog.
It was.
Because poor Simon, he's played Ark Nova twice now, James. The first time was I was teaching him it at Games Expo.
Yep.
Not this year, but the year before. In a loud hall, we could barely hear each other, and we only got about halfway through the game before they had to go off and do something. I think they'd booked in to do something.
Yeah.
So he never got a full play of it. This was his first time playing it since then, so he was basically coming into it
blind
from scratch
with an expansion
and all the new stuff. He did incredibly well.
He did.
He gave me a damn good run for my money.
I mean, that's for argument's sake, say that was his first full playthrough, because it was, and he ended on positive points. I'd say that's a massive congratulations.
He did come second.
Yep.
Not that far behind
with
me.
a single point.
Yes. What did I have? 20,
yeah.
20 points, 24 points, something like that.
We won't go into what I had.
Yeah. What was it? Minus.
It was a poor showing.
Minus 30 odd, was it? Something like that.
Yeah. But again, another reason why I love this game, because that is in complete contrast to the game we played before that, where you and me were basically racing to the finish line throughout the whole game. And I think I pipped you by about a couple of points.
Yeah. It was very, very close.
Yeah. So it was like playing two different games. And again, I love that.
Yeah. And that was the thing. Me and Simon were playing, at the end of the game, his entire board was covered.
Yeah.
Halfway through the game, he realized that it was like, hang on a minute, I've got no space. I can't put any more animals in.
I've got to be honest.
He had to do something else.
That is always something I've struggled with, is filling the board.
Yeah. I've done it a couple of times.
I don't think I've ever done it, which is why I instinctively bin the objective or whatever it is that gives you extra points for filling the board, because it's like, I can never do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I find it quite hard. You're basically building the large enclosures, aren't you, to try and fill it. But yeah, it was a really good game. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad. I hope Simon enjoyed it. I hope Ant enjoyed it as well. Ant really was gunning for those fish, and I was thinking at one point he was going to make it work. Unfortunately, it all didn't work quite as well as maybe it could have done. But was great fun. James, final thoughts for you on this expansion?
I think I can sum it up by saying, if you've played the base game and you own the base game, you need the expansion.
You need the expansion.
I would say the mechanics it adds are that good, I'd say you need it.
Okay.
And that's very rare for me to say that about an expansion.
Yeah.
Normally it's, well, yeah, it would be nice, but, you know, you don't have to get it. Yeah. It's still... I would say that you have to have this. Yeah.
So now I would actually agree with you. I don't ever want to play this game without the expansion again. Do I think you need it if you own the base game? I don't think you need it, but I think you should at least own it. Because it coming from someone who loves the base game, and I really do. It's still one of my favorite games of all time. What it's done is it's taken, you know, it's turned my amplifier from level 10 to level 11. That's what it's done. It's taken a great game and made it even better in ways I never thought it could. I looked at this expansion and I went, this looks like bloat for me. This looks like this is a problem. I wasn't going to buy this. It's only when Simon was already in Essen, I'd already asked him to buy me Sky Team. It's the only thing I asked him to get me. However, when he was there, something said, get him to get you Marine Worlds. I wasn't going to get it. I said, Art Nova was perfect as it was. I didn't need it. I got him to get it, and my God, am I so happy I made that decision, because this has just taken one of my favorite games and made it even... It's probably put it up a couple of levels on a list.
Yeah.
Towards the top.
I know we don't do it anymore, but I would now argue that if I had to do a top five games list, Art Nova would now would have reclaimed its number one position.
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong, we'll always do top five lists, but yeah, I mean,
we don't
give games 10 out of 10s or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, if we did, I'm telling you, it would be probably a 10.
Yeah,
I can't find fault with this game anymore.
If you were to ask me for a top five list now, I can guarantee that Ark Nova will be number one.
Okay, interesting. Well, we will be doing some of those top fives soon, so we shall see what else is in that list. Do I recommend this expansion? Yes.
Yes.
Do I think it has value? Yes. It seems expensive for what's in it, but there's some nice upgrades in there. It makes the game look nice. The drafting mechanism is amazing. The wave mechanism is amazing. The extra cards they put in is amazing. I think it's got value, and it's given Ark Nova even more life than it already had.
Totally agree with that. And I'm already thinking of strategies to try.
Yeah.
What was the one I was thinking of the other day? Rushing the first break, just for that little chaotic moment. Rather than trying to build... messing up everyone else's plans by immediately... I was thinking about it. It's like, if you put association, sponsors, and cards in 5, 4, and 3, so you can kick them off straight away. Association to grab something from the board, because that's usually my first play, either a university or a partner zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Association in 5, then sponsors to immediately break X, gain X.
Yep.
So you bring it down by 5. Followed by cards, which is going to bring it down another 2.
Yeah.
Quickly rushing that first break to make people discard before they're ready to.
Yeah. Well, thank you for pre-warning me of that, John.
It's what I was thinking about the other day, because it was also about explaining to the newer players how, like, from the base game, how all the venom, the constriction, how that's really the only player interaction.
Mm.
And I was just thinking about it. It's like, technically... forcing the break is technically player interaction.
100%. Yeah, definitely. And I will say there was quite a few more venoms and constrictions in that new set as well. So
yeah,
I think there's a bit more player interaction that's going to be coming from this game. So
yeah, but it's one I was thinking of. It's like, oh, it's because I find there's one thing I find really difficult in this game is strategizing.
Yep.
Not really until the second or third break have I sort of decided on a strategy that I'm sort of going, because the game, as far in my mind, doesn't allow you to form a strategy that early game, because especially with the wave mechanics now and the potentials for discarding, it's like, I don't want to settle on a plan too early because I really could get messed
out. At the end of the day, I had a cold start yesterday, didn't I? Because I settled early on, I want to do reptiles.
And it
failed miserably.
Yeah.
So I had to change up very quickly and, yeah, adjusted my strategy and then went on to win. Back to my winning ways, James.
Yep.
I won't say that too loud, really, because, you know, I'll probably lose when we play tomorrow or something.
Yep.
But, yeah, James, Marine World, I am very happy with it. I think it's a great expansion.
Yep. I mean, I was in a very rare position that I'm not normally in, where I had all the Benjamins and nothing to spend them on.
You were hoarding the Benjamins
It was because I had that combo of... Because my end game scoring was sponsors.
Yeah.
So obviously I actually got the top tier of that one in the end because I had 9 sponsors at the end of the game. But I had the 2, which Ant was kind of feeding me most of that money.
Yeah.
Because I had the one that gets you...
No, it was Simon. Simon was the one feeding it.
No, Simon was feeding from the franchise, which is I get money off of kiosks.
Yeah, yeah.
In any zoo.
Yep.
And then I had the one that gives you money every time someone plays a fish icon.
Oh, yes.
And I had the one that gives you money every time someone plays a science icon.
Yes, I was feeding.
Yeah, so you were feeding one,
yeah.
Simon was feeding the other, and Ant was feeding the other. And it's just like, yeah, I've got all this money. Yeah, I can't spend it on anything.
Yeah, it was very good, mate. Was very, very good indeed.
Which is rare for me because normally it's money that I struggle. I was like, I've got a plan. I've got the cards. I can't pay for it.
Yeah.
Ah, life.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Oh, James, very, very happy. Great episode. Really enjoyed that. We talked not quite as long as I thought we were going to, if I'm completely honest. I thought I was going to have to cut this back quite a bit, but yeah. An hour and 10 minutes at this point.
We're getting good at this podcast, Malark.
Don't say that. You haven't got to sit there and edit the damn thing. Yeah, no, it's been good. James, what are we going to play? Because, you know, we've got games that need play. We've got so many new games, James. I've got to learn so many new games. I need to sit down and actually learn these damn things.
Yep. And now you have the wonder that is the game we've just talking about is always going to be sitting there looking over your shoulder going...
Play me. Play me.
Hello.
Play me. No, you take up so much time. Play me. Oh, yeah. Worth it, though. Worth it.
Worth it.
Worth it. Right, James, let's head off.
Let's do it.
Till next week, guys. I have been Jason.
And I've been James.
And you have been listening to the Meeple Miner Podcast. Join us next week for more tabletop gaming news. Ta-ta and goodbye.